seem like we haven't been able to get very far, which there's a lot in this, and I actually missed some, but we're going to have to go back and do, and I'm not going to recap very much, but I am going to read our text, our two texts. It'll be Ephesians chapter 4, and 17 through 32, and Ephesians 6:10, Zach. We will read those again. Now, we talked about how, you know, the devil likes for us to be in the ditch on one side or the other. He likes to either convince people that he's not real. Y'all ain't saying nothing. How many knows there's Christians that believe he's not real?
Right.
But according to Scripture, he's very much real. And then on the other side of the ditch, he likes for us to see him as big. We can't do anything with him, and he's in everything. He's in every flat tire. He's in my cable bill. He's the reason I can't have victory in my life. Everything, right? So on one side of the ditch or the other. Now, we are not to be scared of him. He only has place in our lives wherever we give him. Right. If we're born again, that's the only thing that he can do is get place where we give it to him. Why? But the Bible says Jesus has already stripped him of all power and given us authority over him, right? He triumphed over him openly, made a show of him openly. And then he took authority and he gave it to us, right? But we are in a warfare. The Bible talks about 1 Peter chapter 5:5-11. It talks about how we have an adversary. He is the devil. That he roams about to and fro the earth, seeking whom he may devour. If it's seeking whom he may devour, that just that alone tells me he can't everybody.
Amen.
Right. He can't just come into my life and wreak havoc anytime he wants to. I have to give him an open door somewhere.
That's right.
Now, James chapter 4, verses 5-7, it says, submit yourself therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee. If he's not fleeing, then you have not resisted him, or you're not submitted to God one.
Right.
Now, the devil goes by many different names. The devil, Satan, Abaddon, Apollyon, which means destroyer, serpent, Beelzebub, the dragon, all different kinds of names. But he wasn't created the devil. Now, let's look here at Ephesians 4. And we'll start reading in verse 17. And I'm going to try not to say anything about any of these, just read them. Because I seem to get kind of bogged down when every time I read these. I mean, we went over this three times already, that we're supposed to not be lying, right?
Right.
Why? Not just for the sake of not lying, because sandwiched right in between quit lying and all this other stuff and quit stealing for Christians is give the devil no place. That's why God tells us quit doing it, not because he just wants us not to do it, but it's going to give the devil place in our lives. Now, here in verse 17, he says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness, that's kind of living the way you want to, kind of, without restraint. When you study that, he says, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him, excuse me, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. That word conversation, we would say it today, put off the conduct of the old man. It says, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying. Why? Lying is of the old man. It's not of the new man. Jesus is not a liar, right?
Right.
He says, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. He says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. He says, neither give place to the devil. So we see here, he says, put away lying, put away anger. And then the next thing he says is, neither give place to the devil. Or we would say, don't give place to the devil by lying and getting angry and sinning. Now, you can be angry, but you don't have to sin, right? He goes on, and he says, verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. He says, let all bitterness, Bitterness is kind of like you get upset about something and you're making chili with it. You don't get rid of it by the time the sun goes down. You let it stay overnight. You get up in the morning and you're thinking about it all day long, about what somebody said to you, done to you, this, that, and other. How many knows you don't make good chili in 10 minutes?
Right.
That's the way this bitterness is. You get angry and you let it just linger over and over. It causes a root of bitterness. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now look at chapter 6. Verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And hopefully later on we'll get into what the armor is. It's not literal armor. And just because you get up in the mornings and say, I put on my breastplate of righteousness, don't mean you have it on. We'll talk about that later if we get time and describe all of that. And he says, but notice, he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles here, when you look it up, it means craftiness, it means trickery, it means delusion, it means deceit or deception or deceitfulness. That's what he does. And he is the master at it. The Bible says he is the father of lies, right? He didn't get it from nobody else. He actually created lying. So there's nobody better at it than him. And the Bible tells us that's the thing that we're to watch out for is his deceptions. Because he is so good at it. He has absolutely no power over a Christian. But if he can trick us into giving him power and authority in our lives, that's where he comes in. It says that we stand against, put on the whole armor of God that we stand, you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Notice this. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is a major trick of the devil. You better hear me now.
Yep.
Your problem's not your husband. I don't care if he is getting on your last nerve. Your problem's not your wife. I don't care if your neighbor is yielding and acting to the devil. How many knows even Christians cannot be demon-possessed, but they can be highly influenced?
That's right.
Jesus lives in my heart, but if I listen to the thoughts the devil sends to my mind and I act on them, I'm not demon-possessed. The Holy Spirit lives in here, but I'm highly influenced by him and I'm yielding to him. So a Christian can be influenced and they can yield. But they're not possessed. Not if Jesus lives in their heart.
That's right.
Why? They both can't live in there.
Right.
But I can have Jesus living in my heart and be yielding to the devil.
Yep.
Now, this is a trick of his. It says, for we wrestle not, this is what the Bible tells us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Sandy's not my problem. If I'm having a problem with Sandy at church, Sandy's not my problem. Sandy loves Jesus, I love Jesus. Somebody else is the problem.
Right.
So I need to attack and fight and bind up the one that is the actual problem. Whether she's yielding to the devil or I'm yielding to the devil, number one, I need to start with me and not everybody else.
Right.
Why? I'm the only one that I can fix.
Yep.
Now, I can pray for somebody else or something like that, but people is not our problem. He says, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's not talking about nighttime outside. How many knows the Bible says, Jesus said himself said, if you follow me, you will not walk in darkness.
Yeah.
What's that mean? Anywhere I don't have light. When you're talking to somebody and you're telling them something and you can see the look on their face, they're really not understanding and you explain it to them, you can see when we call, they'll go, oh, I see it. You can see in their face and their eyes when they get it, right? When they get the revelation of what, that's light. They was in darkness before. The Bible talks about how the God of this world, which we know to be Satan, has blinded the hearts and minds of those who do not believe, that are not born again. That's what he's talking about. There's darkness that is covering their minds. It's not talking about like dark outside. So there are rulers that they rule over that darkness. He says, of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, or we would say heavenly places. He says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, he goes on and says, stand therefore. And then he starts talking about the armor. Excuse me. Now, I told you Satan was not created Satan. Let's go over to Ezekiel 28. Now, I know we've already read this, but I want to read it again. God's not telling us these things so we can just sit around and talk about the devil.
That's right.
Or be devil-minded. How many knows we should not be devil-minded?
That's right.
But the Bible says that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. And if we don't know what they are, how many knows we can be Christians and be ignorant of how he works? And just yield and give him place and yield and give him place. And God doesn't want that for us. I don't want that for me. Because anytime I'm yielding to him, I'm miserable. My life, somehow or another, is being killed, stealed, and destroyed. Whether it be my health, my finances, the sanity and peace of my mind, whatever the case may be. But here in Ezekiel 28, we're going to start reading in verse 11. Now this starts out, God is talking to the man of God, and he's talking about the king of, I believe it's Tyrus here in this verses. But then we'll notice he starts talking to not that king, because that king has never been in Eden, the garden of God.
Right.
That king was never covered over with every precious stone. He begins to talk to the one that is operating in and through that king, which is the Satan himself.
Right.
And we pick it up here in verse 11. He says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation unto the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." Now this is how God created him. Which in the beginning, his name was Lucifer. It was not Satan. It says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." So we read this, we know he cannot be talking about a man.
Right.
He's talking about the devil. But he wasn't the devil then, he was Lucifer. He wasn't ugly, he was beautiful. It says, 14, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so." In other words, God said, I made you this way. He says, "Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee." Now he's going to begin to tell us how that iniquity got there. He says, "By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty." Now, this is what we didn't get to last time. This is a key thing. The Bible talks about, and you can put it up there. We won't turn over there. James chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, Zach. He says, "Iniquity was found in you because thine heart was lifted up." Why?
Because
of Because you thought you was all that in a bag of chips, and
That's
I made
right.
you that way.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't saying that.
That's right.
If you like your hair, the texture of your hair, or maybe Cassandra likes the curliness of hers, you know what? Cassandra didn't do that. That's not a perm.
That's right.
Her mom and daddy and ancestors had to do with that. So if she likes it, guess what? Don't get high and lifted up about it.
That's right.
Why? You didn't do it. And that's what he's telling him here. I made you as beautiful as you are. But notice here. He says, "But he giveth more grace," talking about God, "wherefore he saith, God resists who?
The proud.
This is why the devil wants you in it. God resisted him and is still resisting him, and he wants him resisting us. He cannot stand you. Don't let this be too simple for you. Because if this is too simple for you, he's already got you. He says, "God resists the proud, but does what? Gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee." So this is a key to me not being deceived or falling for the wiles of the devil. You better write this down. My humility, how much that I will walk in the depths of humility, is a key to keeping me not lifted up in pride and not submitting to the devil and becoming deceived. Because he looked at himself and all this stuff he's got. I mean, he's covered in diamonds and beryl and onyx and all this precious stuff. I mean, I can't even imagine how beautiful he probably really was. You know, and pipes with make music, all this stuff. He's an anointed cherub. He stands in the very presence of God with the angels and everything. And he says here in verse 17, thine harp was lifted up because of thy beauty. See, even God told him over there in the wilderness. What is that? Deuteronomy 8. He told him, he said, in the day that I bless you, what'd he say? Don't forget it.
Right.
Why? Because if you ain't real careful, here comes the devil and he starts this trickery.
Yep.
Oh, see, you don't got to go to church. You know, you can go to the flea market today. Oh, but you had to go to church when you didn't have a dime.
Right. Yep.
And you needed Jesus. And you wanted him. When your life was in such a mess, see, you was thinking about him then. You was depending on him then. But if you ain't real careful, the devil starts this talking. This is what he does the best. To tell us, now we don't need God quite as much as what we used to. Me and him, everything's okay now. See, then this complacency in my life begins to set in. And I'm not real aware of the things that are going on. And I don't think a whole lot about needing him the way that I used to. I used to talk to him day and night because I needed him day and night. I needed him to have groceries. I needed him to put my marriage back together. I needed him so that my mind was not tormented day and night. But then when I get the peace of God and all this other stuff, I better be real careful. Because he says, in the day that I bless you, and he ain't just talking about money. Money is on the bottom of the blessing list. But a lot of times we like to put it on the top because we need it.
Yeah.
The peace of God in our minds and in our hearts, you can't buy that.
No.
So he says, in the day that I bless you, he says, don't forget me. But pride will tell us we don't need God like we used to, son. And I'm not talking about her. I see her. So it made me say your name. But yeah, that's one of the things that he'll do. He'll start saying, well, you know, you did this and you did that. Y'all ever heard these people that they call themselves self-made millionaires?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. God gave them the very air that they breathe.
That's right.
If he said that was your last breath, they're dropping dead right then.
Yeah.
Just so, how many knows you don't have to serve God for God to be as good to you as he can?
Right.
The Bible says God brings on the just and the unjust. So if you're making money and things is going pretty good in your life, don't think that you and Jesus got it all going on. Why? Because he says, those that love me are the ones that keep my commandments. If I'm not keeping his commandments, I can deceive myself into thinking I love him, but my lifestyle is going to show it.
Right.
Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. I'm talking about me. Because he says, it's not about, they're not going to know you by how much money you got. They're not going to know you by how big a house you got. They're not going to know you because you sing about the blood.
No.
He says, they're going to know you because of the love that you have one for another. He says, and if you love me, you'll do what I tell you to do.
Yep.
All the time. And if we don't, then we have to repent, right?
Yeah.
He goes on here, but this is a deception that he has. This is the thing that deceived him. He says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. You ever seen somebody that, I mean, they're beautiful. And they begin to open their mouth and they're just ugly.
Yeah.
What happened to them? How did they get that way?
Right.
That's what happened to him. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings and they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee, thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Now, go over to Obadiah. I know most people don't read this chapter very much, it's just a little bitty one too. Just one chapter in Obadiah. But here in Obadiah chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, that you can put it up there in case somebody might not find it. He says here, verse 3, he says, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee.
Mm.
Now remember I told you the devil, the word wiles means craftiness, deception, delusion, deceitfulness. He says here, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. So he says here, the pride of mine own heart can deceive me. So we see here again, a key to me not being deceived is going to be me walking in humility. The Bible talks about humble myself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt me. Flesh don't like that, eh? I don't know about y'all, but my flesh likes to exalt me a lot.
Yep.
I have to even watch this about when I'm working. Not quite as much as I used to, because I can't physically do as much as I used to. My birthday was Thursday. Anyway, get off of that. Because I've always had this thing, you know, if I want something done, I just go do it. You know? Scotty, this has been years ago, you know. When we moved over on our place, it's real sandy. So nobody had really done anything over there in years. We had ditches that had been cut by water that I could stand in, and you could barely see the top of my head. Rocks all over the place. Big rocks, little rocks, all kinds of stuff. So when we moved over there, started working out there, you know, it's got to get a bulldozer to, you know, fill in these ditches and all this other stuff. And there was rocks, you know, and there was a pile over there. And I told him and Travis, I said, y'all need to get them rocks up and move them over yonder. Well, both of them said, well, we can't do that. We need a tractor to do that. You don't need a tractor. Just get over there and get them up. Well, they said over there, guess what? I went over and got them up, Johnny. And then if you ain't real careful,
yep.
Don't even know where I'm going, do you, Jackie? Here comes the devil. Says,
yep.
Did what they can't do. Y'all might say that. Y'all just look straight ahead. Nobody know it's you. I tell them about me.
That's right.
See, he doesn't care what it's in. He don't care whether it's something at church or something at work or something at home. Just get you lifted up. Just lift your little self up somehow or another. That's all he cares about. Because it doesn't matter what it's about. Maybe you can do something better than somebody else. Well, don't pride yourself about it. Because you know what? There's always somebody that can do something better than you can. Why? You can't do it all better than everybody. But my humility is going to be a key to me not becoming deceived.
Right.
I heard a guy one time, a minister that I listened to, and let me get the drink here. There had been quite a few that had gone on before him that had actually fell over into false doctrine and, you know, got deceived about some things and got tripped up in some adultery and different things like that, you know. And he was talking to the Lord about it, and he told him, said, well, God, if they can't do it, you know, and stay strong, how can I, you know? Because he's humble, you know, he's looking at himself and thinking, they're great, you know, you use them greatly and all this stuff. And if they had a problem, you know, if they fail, how can I not fall? And God told him, this is going to be a key to you not falling will be your humility. God told him, said, I tried to talk to every one of them before it happened. Y'all ain't saying that. He said, I tried to talk to him. How many knows you don't just get up one morning and just fall into adultery?
Right.
No, you didn't. No, I didn't if I did it. How'd it start? I saw somebody somewhere or something other, and here come the devil and maybe even my own flesh. Right? And I started thinking about it.
Yep.
And you think about it. And you think about it. See, this is where it starts called oppression. The devil begins to oppress me, bring oppressing thoughts to me about things. And if you let yourself think on that stuff, see, that thought came from out here. The Bible says, take no thought in Matthew chapter 6 by saying. What am I supposed to do with those thoughts? I'm supposed to cast them out according to 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. But how many know, Sandy, sometimes them thoughts feel good.
Yep.
Y'all really ain't saying that now. I just tell the truth. Tell the facts. And I let myself think on it. And I let myself think on it. Well, how many knows then it's kind of like once an egg is conceived, what is it? It goes in, burrows up in the uterus or whatever. It finds a spot there and it attaches there. That's the same thing that happens with a thought that you don't get rid of. And you just let yourself think about it. Now listen, these thoughts that you can't seem to stop thinking, they're not you.
Amen.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be about another man. It can be anything.
Right.
It's those thoughts that keep coming to you, and you don't want to think them, and you try not to think them, but you just keep, they just keep coming. They are the devil. You better get rid of them. Listen, you don't just get rid of a thought by thinking another one. You have to say something out your mouth. It's kind of like I can't count in my head to 10 and be talking to you at the same time and keep counting in my mind. It can't happen. That's how come when I'm having a wrong thought or whatever, I have to say something out of my mouth, and it usually needs to be something in line with the scripture to get rid of that thing. Because if I don't get rid of that thing, it's going to burrow up in my mind. And then what's going to happen once it gets in my mind, then I become obsessed. This is how this thing works. Then I become obsessed, and I just keep thinking about it. Then I start trying to find ways to do it, to act on whatever it is that I'm thinking about. And the thing the devil will say, you can do it and not get caught.
Yeah.
That's why people rob a bank. You can do it and not get caught. I seen him go in there not too long ago. This one guy who robbed a bank, he had on just a mask, a COVID mask thing. I was thinking, Dad, are you serious? I mean, really? I mean, he was really so deceived that that's all they had on, a little mask thing. Like, we ain't going to really know who you are. But that's how that stuff starts. That's how it started with the devil. He began to think he was beautiful. And he was according to scripture. And God wanted him to be beautiful. But God didn't want him to think he was all that. See, another key to me not being deceived is going to be thankfulness. Y'all ain't saying nothing.
Amen.
Why? Because if I'm thankful, I'm grateful and I'm humble. If I'm prideful, I did it myself. If you did something for me, Shannon, you owed it to me, so I can't be thankful for it. You should have done it. And if you didn't do it, you should have done it. Listen, I'm telling you something this morning. I'm telling you keys. One of them is going to be my humility, and the second one is going to be my thankfulness. I heard a minister before that I listened to, and I really like this statement. He says, I forgot the first part of it now because I was going to tell you. What is that he says, Scotty? You can't think either? Was you paying attention? I hope so. In other words, the word that he used, I can't think of it right now, but what it means is don't be expecting something from somebody, for somebody to do something for you, even a husband or a wife or whatever. You know, because how many, I can have expectations of Scotty and him not even think nothing about it.
Right.
Then when he don't do it, then I'm upset. Why? Because I expected it.
Right.
And I'm not thankful.
Right.
That's like the other day was my birthday, you know, and he brought me a very pretty card. I saved it. Usually they're not pretty, you know, but this one was very pretty. I told him, I said, you're getting better with that. It was very pretty card, you know, and a wind chime, you know, I like wind chimes, so he bought me a wind chime. And you know what, Sandy? I did not expect him to do that. So, you know what? It caused me to be very thankful.
Amen.
But if I had expected it, Johnny, and he forgot.
Right. Forgot about it.
Oh, what is that we say? Hell to pay? Can you see that? And see, when it's that way and I'm not thankful or whatever, but I'm expecting it and they didn't do it, there comes an open door.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Bible says, give him no place. Now I've gave him place. Now, whether I say anything to him or not, I'm going to be in there cooking supper and be like, he'd be like, what's the matter with you? Nothing. Don't laugh, Shannon. Just look straight ahead. Don't we like to do that, women?
Yep.
And say, what's the matter with you? Nothing.
Yep.
Okay, then. They go on about their business. I tell you right now, he should do this and that and blah, blah, blah. Then they come back in, you know, and they say something to you and they don't say nothing or whatever. And they, are you sure everything's up? Yes. Then when they would get mad or when they go on about their business again,
yeah,
they should just know what my problem is.
Right.
Ooh, help us, Jesus.
Please.
I gave place to the devil. That's what the problem was. And then I'm still giving place. Now I'm lying. I got a problem, but I'm telling you no, I'm fine. I know y'all don't do none of that. But he says there, no, but I, the pride of thine own heart has deceived thee. Now let's go over to Genesis 3. See, most of the time, what I'm telling you this morning, a lot of people don't think it's spiritual enough. Why We like to see things. We like to hear things. We like to have manifestations. We like to scream at the devil and think we're doing a lot of stuff. I don't find anywhere Jesus screamed at the devil. Now we better stick with scripture. I don't find anywhere where Jesus had to go up on a high mountain and take authority over a city. Y'all ain't saying nothing. See, we're down here where the rubber meets the road. This is very spiritual. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Well, the words that the devil speaks, and he speaks them to us 24/7. They are death to us. And if we listen to those, they bring death to our life. Jesus said that he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So if I can't take authority over him, kind of like Joyce Meyer says, if I can't take authority over washing some dishes, if I can't get authority over my flesh in that area, I need not go try to take authority over a city. Why? He's going to beat my brains out. You understand? Bigger levels, bigger devils. But if you can't even defeat the ones on the level you're on, don't be trying to go take authority over somebody else's house. It's not going to happen. If I can't take authority over my money, oh, good Lord, did I just say that?
Yeah.
If I can't handle my own spending, if I can't handle my own house, and I'm going to try to tell you how to handle yours, please. I'm done deceived. Verse 1 here, chapter 3, verse 1. It says, now the serpent was more subtle. This word subtle is kind of like that word wild. It means crafty. It means cunning. It means sly. The devil is slick, and there's not anybody any slicker than him. But now, before the born-again believer, the greater one lives on the inside of us. And we love to shout the glories about that. But the thing about it is, the greater one lives in us, but are we yielding to him when the devil's coming? Are we submitting to God when the devil's coming? The devil didn't sign my cable bill, Sandy. If my cable bill is $150 a month, and I can't even put food on my table, the devil didn't do it. But we like to say he did. But we ain't saying nothing. It says, now the serpent was more subtle, cunning, crafty, than any beast of the field which the Lord God made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. He's starting out here with a question that he already knows the answer. Do you notice that? She didn't start the conversation with him, God said this to us. He already knows the answer to the questions he asked you. He goes on and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. He knows God told him they couldn't. And the woman said unto the serpent, ye may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now go back over to Ephesians in our thinking. If you're born again, stop lying. Why? We know God says don't lie. Right? We read it. I mean, it's even in the Ten Commandments. It's one of the things in Proverbs that it says that the Lord hates. Right?
Man.
Well, she's telling him here, I'm not deceived, Johnny, about what God says about lying. I'm not deceived about what God says about for me not to steal anymore. Right?
Right.
We talked about on that last week about the tithe. God says that if I'm not giving him the tithe, what's he called me?
A
thief and a robber.
Right.
We won't get on that today. He goes on and he says, verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not die. Anything that comes to you that contradicts what God has said, cut it off right now.
Yep.
Right. You better cut it off right now. Yeah, but he said he's going to get saved. He's going to go to church with me. I don't care. Cut him off right now.
Yep.
If you're saved and he's not saved, the Bible says that we have nothing in common.
Right.
And more than likely, you ain't going to get them saved, but they're going to get you to start walking and yielding to the flesh. And then how many of us, the more you yield to the flesh, the stronger your flesh gets, even though you got a born-again spirit. You've got backslid Christians sitting in the bars in the weekends. They used to be preachers because they started yielding to the flesh, and the flesh got so strong and their spirit man got so weak. That spirit that still wants God is still in there. But he can't do the things he wants to because he's dominated by the flesh man. So anything that begins to contradict that you know is the Word of God, stop it right then.
Right.
Yeah, but see, y'all ain't hearing me. Anytime you got that yeah, but, you're being deceived. God knows, and He knows what's best for me and you at all times. You better cut it off. Yeah, but I'll make these payments by faith. Did God tell you you're going to make them by faith? Did He tell you you're going to make $635,000 a month payments? That He's going to give you that kind of faith for 6 years? Mm-hmm. If He did, raise your hand right now, because I've never had it. Y'all ain't saying nothing. This is His trickery. His trickery to put us in debt. Why? God knows. He put in His word that the borrower is subject to the lender. I'm going to do things. The devil will tempt me able to do things that I would normally do to make them payments. I can't tell you how many people have been took off into prostitution, been put up in stealing, to make them payments of the crap they got themselves into when they should have cut it off and quit listening to the devil. We are supposed to be wiser than him. The Bible says for God's people, we're supposed to be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. And if we got to where we're yielding to Him all over the place out here, on different levels, and God's not trying to get on to us, God loves us. God doesn't want Him taking advantage of us. God doesn't want Him deceiving us. God wants us free, right?
Yeah.
That's what He said. He said, for whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. And He wants us to be completely free. And how many knows He's paid the price for that freedom, but as long as I'm listening and yielding to the devil, I'm going to be bound, even though I'm saved. He goes on here and he says, verse 5, for God doth know. Let me read for you. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. You just told a lie against the word of God.
Yes.
And listen, the man is standing right there, man. You're supposed to be the head watchman over your house. The woman here, she was absolutely deceived. The man was not deceived. He let it happen. He goes on here, for God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened and you shall be as gods. They could not be any more like God than what they already was.
That's right.
They couldn't have any more God than what they already had, Johnny. He come and walked and talked with them in the cool of the day, the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
There was no sin. There was no enmity between them. They could share intimate everything. That's stuff he tells us. See, get this here. This is real religious. What's he tell us? Make you more like God. Make you more like God. What's he do with drugs? You know what he tells people that does meth? You're faster. You're smarter. You can focus. You can concentrate. No, they can't. You ever seen them when they're really whacked out? They can't be still. They can't focus on nothing. But to them, they are convinced they're faster, they're stronger, they're better, they can focus better. But it's a lie. I mean, you see, they can't be still. I mean, they're like, yes. Y'all see them at the stores? I mean, really? Have you ever seen them just tweak completely out? And they're believing the lie, so they go in, they do it again. It helps me. Listen, I have been way tempted to do math. Well, because I don't like being fat, but I don't like feeling hungry.
Right.
Y'all ain't saying nothing.
Yeah.
I just don't like fat. I don't care if it's on you or me. I don't like fat.
Yeah.
And so that's what he likes to tell me, and I'm saved.
Yep.
Just a little. Don't do it enough to get addicted. Just do a little bit in the morning so you don't want to eat like a hog all day till bedtime, you know?
Yep.
Well, what's God say? Trust me. Let me help you. Discipline. Rein your little flesh in. Oh, we don't want to hear that one. That's for sure. Don't give your flesh everything it wants. Kenneth Hagin had a saying. He said, I did. He didn't fast a whole lot or whatever, you know, like some people do, 3 days, 40 days fast or whatever. He said, just don't ever eat as much as you want to. I tried that, Sandy. I hate that. You know why? I like to eat as much as I want to and then some, or I wouldn't be as big as I am. But see how he comes?
Yeah.
You won't be one of those, Teresa. You won't be one. Now, I used to do this stuff. You won't be one. You can handle it because you don't like it to begin with. I don't like anything that hypes me up. I like mellow. Now, Scotty was the hyper-upper. He liked all that kind of junk. I mean, I try to go to work, take some pills or whatever. I pour tea all over everybody. I mean, I don't like all that stuff. I don't like stuff that, I like the taste of food. That's why I eat so much of it. But doing that stuff, I can't, it about makes me want to throw up just trying to eat something.
Yep.
So here comes the lie. It will help you. Y'all ain't saying nothing. It'll help you to keep the tithe. You can't help it. You can't afford it this week. I got a car payment.
Yep.
I can't afford it. But the word plainly says I can't afford not to, Donnie.
Right.
God's got a way for me to come out. God's got a way for me to come out of debt. God's got a plan of prosperity for me, financial prosperity for me. But it's only his plan and his way is the only way I'm going to get to it. But here comes the devil to tell me every lie he possibly can to keep me out of it.
Yep.
And that's what he's doing to them here. That's the same thing he does to us. He says, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Verse 6. And when the woman saw, oh, here we go. Listen, they are our ancestors. We came from them.
Yep.
And it happens the same way with us that it happens with them. Maybe it wasn't a tree for us, or an apple, or an orange, or whatever the fruit was. I don't know. It might be a car. It might be a woman, a man, a picture. I don't know. It's the same thing. Why? Because this is human nature. It says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, I bet the devil just put a spotlight on it.
Yep.
Didn't even show the worm in the back.
Right.
I bet they went, ping. You know, little sparkle cartoons does ping when the light shined on it, when she looked at it.
Yep.
It says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Oh, something I like to look at, April. I like to look at them bright, shiny, yellow Camaros. I like it. See, we'll get into this a little bit later. We don't have time to now, but just a little appetizer. Over there in James, where it talks about temptation, he says, every man is tempted when he's drawn away, what? For me, it might be a yellow Camaro. For you, it might be a woman. It might be a man. It might be keeping the tithe. It might be doing something else. It might be not going to the church God told you to go to. Y'all not saying nothing on that one. Might be a guitar when God said don't get it.
Or it could be a monster truck.
Well, I don't know. Everybody has something except Jesus. He is the only one that could ever say, the devil cometh, but has no place in me. Scotty read the scripture last week, I think it was. It says that we have been crucified with Christ. What's that mean? That old man, that the world had something in him? He's supposed to be dead. See, here comes the devil. He goes on, he says here, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Oh, me. She took, now listen, she got all of this, an image of all of this from the words he said.
Yep.
You get an image of whatever you get from the words that he paints.
Wow.
Yep.
That's why we're supposed to cast down imaginations, right?
Yep.
And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, want to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband. She didn't even call for him. Hey, Peter, come on over here. Get some of this apple. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all ain't saying nothing. She didn't have to call him. Why? Because he's standing right there with her and never even opened his mouth.
Mm.
He goes on here, and it says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Notice this. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. When we start yielding to the devil, the first thing that's going to come is fear, and we start running away from it. That's what they did. He comes later and he says, Adam, where are you? God knew exactly where he was.
Right.
Yep.
What he's saying is, check yourself.
Yep.
Where'd you go? Usually you're right here waiting on me. I can't even find you today. And the was begin to try to take care of themselves. This is human nature. How many knows, but when I get born again, I've got the nature of God. God's supposed to be my supply. God's supposed to take care of me. I'm supposed to be like a carefree kid. But that's not what the flesh and the devil wants me to do. Is they begin to sow, notice it, fig leaves. What Jesus talked to when he came?
Fig tree.
It says, and he answered the fig tree. I didn't hear the fig tree asked a question, did y'all? He came to the fig tree and he said, no man ate fruit from you again. And it says, and he answered the fig tree. But it don't ever say there, Donnie, that the fig tree said a question. I bet it said something over here. Don't say it then, but it said something somewhere, because I don't answer somebody unless they give me a question. But notice, they begin to sow fig leaves together to begin to take care of themselves. And we got to stop again here today because our time is actually up. Does anybody have anything they would like to share or comments or anything?